welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Just thank you, Father, that today we can bring ourselves before you, Lord, and just declare, Father, that without you, Lord, we are lost, and we would have still been lost without the call to which we've responded from you, Lord. You loved us first, and that's why today we can know what love is. And we thank you for that, Father. And thank you, Lord, that I just bring myself before you today, Lord, and the word that you want to bring through me today, Father. I pray that your name will be glorified through the word, Lord, that you will anoint each word that departs from my mouth, Father, to bring life, to bring revelation. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will work in every heart and every mind today. That you today want to teach us and reveal to us what you want to reveal and teach. And I pray that your will come into being today, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, Amen. We're going to start off today by reading through the entire book. Book of Isaiah. So are we ready to do this? Okay, it's in the original Hebrew. So I hope you are ready with me. Isaiah 1 from verse 11. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord. I've had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of well-fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required of you this trampling of my courts? Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and the calling of convocations. I cannot endure iniquity and solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. And plead the widow's cause. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Today we're going to speak a bit about true worship. And the weekend that just passed, we had our global gathering of all the Shofar congregations in Stellenbosch, which we call Convergence. And we came together, we had some great speakers there, and it was so great to see just the Word of God coming alive and the season He's calling us into. But we were privileged to sit under the teaching of I think, one of the legends in worship and writing doctrines and teachings on it. It's Tom Ingalls. And we as church and people that attended learned so much from it. And he was speaking about praise and thanksgiving. And as the conference went on and we spent another additional week down in Franschhoek, where God continued to speak to me and he led me to speak today about worship. And what is worship? And what does God require of us through worship and how to do that correctly? Now, there are many, I see a couple of worship leaders sitting here, but you know we are all worshipers. So what is our idea of worship and how do we correctly, how do we do it the way that God requires of it? Because we see, as we just read in Isaiah, it's not one of those extremely feel-good scriptures. And the way I interpret it is it's so easy for us to, for some it's more easier than others, but to come to church and to worship God, perhaps even lift up our hands in prayers and praise. But it can be nothing more than ritual. It can be nothing more than habit.
And it can be a place where we come before God and then try to figure out, like, okay, I'm actually in church now, and you only realize it after the third song, and trying to find your place in that. And what is true worship? What does God require of us? And how did Jesus do it?
Now, physical expression of worship through posture should be an outward expression of the inner postures of our hearts. It makes no sense for me to be in the posture of worship, however image we have in our heads, whether it be healing, kneeling down or hands lifted high. But if our hearts are not submitted, or our hearts are not exalting God, I only see it, and the only way I can carry it across is through hypocrisy, in a sense, because the one is not matching up with the other. Are you agreeing with me today? So true worship is an outward expression of what is already happening on the inside. So that means when we worship God, not only should we be present and conscious when we do it, but whatever we do with our body should just be an outflow of what is going on the inside. And I truly experience, and I know that God today, that wherever we are with bringing God praise, the honor and glory which He deserves, that today He will just bring us back from wherever we come from and just help us to do it the way He wants us to do it and the way He's deserving of it. Because in all honesty, I don't believe to worship, to praise God is a tool we use to just to focus on Him. And I'm running a bit ahead of me here today, but I'm looking forward to the day that for church gatherings, not only on a Sunday, but with every meeting we have, that everyone will come and attend, already worshiping God, already being at a place of hearing what He wants to do at the meeting, so that we all can give and all partake in building the church. And I believe it's so easy to fall into a habit of whatever lifestyle or time management or whatever we come from, to come to church and then to start focusing on God, then to start praising Him and exalting Him. And I believe God wants to make the change, the shift. And I'm so looking forward to the day that we can come together as a church where everyone comes prepared, already having quiet time, devotional time at home, worshiping God there, saying, Lord, I'm attending a church gathering. Because, you know, attending church is not about the word the pastor gives. This is what's happening now. This is by far secondary to the primary thing. What's the primary thing? Worshiping God. So if we are not present in the worship of God, the effect of the words the preacher brings, it's not reaching the potential and not reaching what God wants to do through it. So I'm trusting today that God wants to just bring a bit of revelation and clarity to that, so that we can change the way we see our meetings and see worship. You see, worship is sacramental in nature. An outward and visible expression of an inward and spiritual revelation. God reveals His goodness to us. Our hearts are filled with thanksgiving and we raise our hands externally. Now worship, my thing is going crazy here. Worship is not the two slow songs we sing at the end of a set list. That's not worship. As soon as a song slows down or we feel a bit emotional about it, that's really not what worship is. So what is worship? What is true worship? I'm going to go into depth a bit about what worship is. We're going to look at the three Greek words for worship, which we find in the New Testament. And how great the translations of the Bible and all the various translations we have. It's always great to go back to the original writings of it to see what was meant. So I want us to quickly look at the following. And the first one I want to speak about, the word proskuneo. It means worship. And this was the most common word for worship in the New Testament. And we see it 60 times in the New Testament. And it means to fall down to the ground and to kiss the ground before the king. The literal definition is to kiss, to fawn, to crouch, homage to our Father, to our King. It is not the same as meeting your friend across the street and say, hey buddy, how are you doing? It is a place of intimacy, to kiss, to fall down, to bring homage to the King. That is the word proskuneo. And I've got some scripture references for that. We can look in Matthew 4, verse 10. Then Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. So the word worship there is the word proskuneo, which means, Satan, you shall fall down and kiss the ground before the King. Matthew 8, verse 2, and behold, a leper came to him, knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. So the word knelt there is worship. So the leper came and worshipped God. That is the exact same word that is used there. So I want us just to start to change the way we see worship. Mark 5 or 6, and when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. Now you see how I bolded the words. So that word fell down is proskuneo. It means he worshipped. He fell down before the Lord. And then the last example is Revelation 5 verse 14. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. So that is the most common form of worship we see in the New Testament, proskuneo, to kiss, to be intimate, to fall down, to kiss the ground before the King. And the second one I want us to look at is latreo, which appears 21 times in the New Testament. And it means to render religious service of homage, with the literal meaning to serve, to minister to, either to the gods or men, and use the like of slaves and freemen, and also to offer gifts. So to minister to bring yourself, to offer gifts to God. And the references I have there, you can read together in Romans 1 verse 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve, with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you. So the word serve there is latreo, which is worship. 2 Timothy 1 verse 3. I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. And lastly, Revelation 7 verse 15. Therefore, thou before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shout to them with his presence. So, worship is not a song that we sing. If we look at these three Greek words, none of them meanings, however, means to sing a song to God. It's more the lines of reverence and serving. It means to bow down, to kiss, to serve, to homage our Father, our Lord. So when you visit someone and they just so love to serve you, to give you the best that they have, in a sense it is a worship to you because they want to give you the best that they have and that they are when they serve you. If I have to buy the brand new Ferrari with all the attachment and accessories on top of it, and I'm so proud of this, and I drive it around the streets, and I tell and phone everyone, like, yes, this is my new Ferrari that I have. Come look at it. Look at this. No, that is not showing off. That is worship. I worship my car, and I have such a love for this, I want to declare it to the ends of the earth. I want to tell everyone about it. See, worship is nothing less than testifying of the thing that you love, of the thing that you worship. So worship is, it's reverence, it's serving, it's proclaiming to the ends of the earth who God is and the love that you have for him. That is worship. And the third Greek word of worship is sebo. It appears 10 times in the New Testament, of which 8 of those appears in the book of Acts. And it means reverence or to hold in awe. Acts 13 verse 43. And after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. Devout converts. That word devout is worshiping converts. 13 verse 49 to 50, also out of Acts. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region, but the Jewish leaders incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their region. So God-fearing women, worshipping women, people who have a reverence and fear towards God. Now if we look at the life of Jesus, Jesus gave thanks 5 times in the New Testament. He praised 3 times. Guess how many times he worshipped? 0 times. So he's like, oh, what's going on? Why do we worship? It's just we need to change the way we see worship. Jesus singing songs was not worshiping to God. So what was worship? What was true worship? Because worship requires movement. You know what worship, where do we see the perfect example of worship? It's on the cross. That place of complete obedience toward our Father that Jesus had, just doing the will of the Father, meaning walking in complete obedience even to the point of death, that is worship. That is true worship. So for me, worship is nothing more than obedience. Worship is devotional and practical obedience together with praise. It's not the songs that we sing. It's not only the songs that we sing. And it can only take place when we know our Father and what He requires. And the only way we can know that is if we are intimate with God the Father. You cannot know what your husband and wife or girlfriend and boyfriend wants and needs if you do not know them. So the same is with our Father. Jesus could only walk in true worship in complete obedience because He only did the will of the Father, complete obedience to it. So how often do we worship? Have we worshiped God in the truest sense of it? It's not what we do in church when we sing the slow song. That's not worship. It is walking obedience with God. It's imitating Christ, imitating the lifestyle that He had in trying to do only that which the Father did. That is worship. So the only way we can know our Father is through intimacy. So the only way we can worship is to know our Father. So how do we get to know Him? Is we need to come close to where He is. We need to enter into His courts. Enter through the gates of where He is. And what does Scripture say about this? Psalm 100 verse 4. And we all know this. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. I remember, for those of you who were here 2 weeks back, I referred to my friend in Nepal, Amar. And he, irrelevant to the day we had, whether we had food or not, whether it's hot or cold or just nice, as soon as things quiet down, you can hear what he's saying. He's constantly thanking God. You just hear in the background, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And when I would hear this, every single time, it would just so take me out of this emotional place and trying to feel sorry for myself or think about others in the situation. It just brings me back to the place of where Jesus is. And you know what, Lord, it's irrelevant if I'm hungry or hot or cold right now because You are good, You are God, You're above all of this. So thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus, for salvation. And God has convicted me and reminded me again that how often do we thank Jesus for the salvation we have received so freely through the intense death He had to go through on the cross for us. God wants us to live a lifestyle of thanksgiving and of praise, because when we do that, not only will we, in a sense, forget about us, but we will just be so thankful towards Jesus for everything that He's done. And you know what? Even if it goes bad in our frame of rhetoric, even if we are trusting the Lord for the breakthrough and all these things, you know, it's so good to trust the Lord. But I believe it needs to come out of a place of thanksgiving first to God. And today I want us to get a little bit practical. And Tian, you can come up to the front for me, please. Only you, that's fine. Oh, and Nick as well, please. And what I want us to do is we can stand or sit, but I want us to close our eyes. And I want us to thank God. I want us to start off by thanking Him for salvation.
We can thank Him for everything that we know and that we are and that we have, because everything belongs to Him. No matter how great or smart or rich we are, everything belongs to Him. So we just thank Him for everything that we are and know and am, and the fact that we are sitting here today is through His leading and His guidance and His love. So I want you guys just to play, and we're going to start praying right now. So let's close our eyes. Let's forget about the person next to us. Let's thank Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for the cross that you have died. Thank you, Jesus, that we can know you. That we don't need to do anything, Father, but you have given us complete access to your throne. And Jesus, we will never understand the salvation we have received, but we thank you today for it, Jesus. We set aside all our questions that we have, all the things we are trusting for breakthrough, Lord. We just thank you, Jesus, today for that we have. Thank you, Jesus. And I want to encourage us, let's sing a song to God. Let's sing to Him, because He loves us and He wants us to sing to Him. So let's sing a song, a new song, a song of thanksgiving to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That without us deserving anything, you gave everything. You died on the cross for every single one of us in this room. You died for every single soul. We thank you for that, Jesus. Lord, we say sorry that we can lose focus and forget, in a sense, Lord, what you've done for us. And we just thank you. Lord, now we don't want anything. We don't require anything. We just say thank you. Give praise to your name. All honor, all glory, all power to you, Jesus. Because you are King, you are Lord, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Psalm 35 verse 18 says, I will thank you in the great congregation. In the mighty throng I will praise you. And also 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. See, God is always one step ahead of us. And as of Abraham, He calls us to come up here. He calls us from the valley to move to the mountain. Worship requires movement. It requires for us that if we're in this place of saying, Lord, to sing to you always feels like I'm singing to the ceiling. It requires for us to move from where we are, just move to where God is, and just say, thank you, Jesus, for everything. We praise your holy name, Lord. The highest expression of faith is praise. It doesn't matter if we are currently in the storm or we're in the calm, it's all about Jesus. And the man that has faith is the one that can stand in the midst of persecution and amidst joy and still sing to God. That is faith. When man believes, he starts singing. Because the battle is not for souls. The battle is not for our relationship with Christ. The battle is for worship. And it's through worship that the kingdom of heaven comes. So let's take another couple of minutes. Let's close our eyes. I encourage you, be completely honest with God. If you don't know Him, say, God, I don't know you. I don't know how to respond to you. Because the thing is, the devil knows how much we know. He knows when we're faking it, and he uses it. So let's close our eyes and bring ourselves to God. Jesus, we bring ourselves before you, Lord, and we want to thank you for that you've done. We want to respond to who you are today, Jesus. We want to know you. Let's talk to God honestly for a couple of minutes. Bring yourself to Him. It's Jesus. And in this time, if you experience anything that you want to share with the rest of us, just welcome to come and talk to me. It's Jesus.
Jesus, that we can bring our hurts. We can bring the things that we are trusting and hoping in faith before, Lord. We bring those things before you, Lord, and we thank you, Jesus, for breakthrough. Thank you, Jesus, that your love will be manifested in relationships, Lord, that your presence will become real, Lord. When we bring our challenges, Father, we bring our lives, we bring our hurts, we bring it before you, Lord, and we thank you, Jesus, for the cross, because the cross is paid for everything. And we thank you, Lord, already for the breakthrough. I want you to, whatever you're trusting the Lord for at the moment, already envision it happening. Thank Jesus for that. Because that is what faith is, the hope for the things, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. So let's thank God. Let's have faith in this place and let's see our prayers already answered. And let's thank you. Thank Jesus for it. Yes. Also, want, if you're sitting in this place and you really feel difficult, you feel it a difficult thing to talk to God, you feel it a difficult thing to hear His response and His love towards you, I want you, if that is you and you really feel that this feels like nothing is happening, I want you to come to the front and we would love to pray for you. I want you to be bold in this place because today let's just give praise and thanks to God. And if we're struggling to do that, we'd just love to pray with you. It's Jesus.
Good afternoon, evening, everyone. I just feel that I'm going to share. I was sharing some of my testimony with someone last night. And I don't often share it. But the other person was in tears. And then, like, I was also touched because I was like, oh, yeah, God has brought me from so far. But while we were praying now and we're doing everything, God showed me, like, a rocky place. And she showed me that there was, like, a plant coming out of that rocky place. And when I was younger, I gave my heart to the Lord. I went forward as a little girl and asked for salvation, and I really felt that God had touched me. But I didn't live a life for Christ, and I didn't have people around me that could keep me accountable, and I didn't a lot of things. And I came to Varsity, and I led quite a debaucherous and party lifestyle, and I used to use men, I used to manipulate men all the time to feel better about myself for whatever reason, and it got really crazy. I used to, like, meet someone at a club or whatever and then go home with him, and or go to a hotel or whatever, but I'd never slept with anyone. In fact, when it got to that, because obviously the guy was expecting it, I was like, are you crazy? That's, like, not going to happen. And when I was telling this person this last night also, I just told him as well that I know that it was God that was watching over me and keeping me pure for my husband, because it's something that I wanted since I was a little girl as well. But I carried on leading this life, and just the way I related to men was like, it was just something that I could use. And I obviously had huge father wounds as well, and it came a long way, and God really, He healed me so much of that. I'll tell you that my father was never one to tell us that he loved us, and or that he's proud, or to show his love. In fact, it was, in my opinion, quite abusive, and also verbally abusive. And God also showed me to how to relate to him and how to pray for him, like, and how to strengthen him in the spirit. And it also brought me to my knees to say that as a born-again Christian and as someone who proclaims like that Jesus is the way, that I must honor my father as well. And it was a long road for me, but God really redeemed like men in my life, and men as brothers, and my father, to the point that I have the most amazing relationship with my dad, and we chat all the time, and he tells me he loves me, and I know, and he's proud of me, and just the fact that I'm married is a miracle in itself. Like, I know that it's just God. And God showed me the rock, and he showed me the plant coming out of the rock, and he told me, like, when I was little and I gave my heart to him, that he always kept that seed. He always kept that seed. And even though there was no the road that I was going on, there was like no place for the seed to be planted on fertile soil, that God was keeping me and he was watching over me. And I just want to encourage the rest of you. For a very long time, I used to pray for people and in my class, or people that I come across, or my family, and ask them, God, please save them. God, please save them. God, please. Like, and I'd wait for them to like commit and take this plunge into Christianity and how I believe in my relationship with God and how awesome it is. And recently God has just been showing me that I am the kingdom of God and I take the kingdom of God with me. And I'm a steward of his glory, which is also worship. And if I can show that person the kingdom of God, then Jesus will make a way. Jesus will talk to that person. And just like God had kept my seed, God knows what's going on in their life. So it's not up to me to hit them over the head with the Bible or like think that God is not doing anything because they haven't recommitted their life to the Lord. That God is busy with each person. And just for me to carry on carrying the kingdom of God with me and just showing them Jesus that way, to testify of God's goodness and tell people of how good God is and how he redeems and just how amazing my life is and how abundant it is. That's not to say that my life is perfect, but that Jesus is just amazing in my life.
Thank you, Meryl. For me, worship is obedience to the things God asks of us. But through that obedience, whatever situation he takes us through, it is that through those situations, we will continually be thankful, continually be praising him. What loves is sometimes when Jesus confronted the Pharisees and sometimes the Christians as well, they would just start grumbling, start moaning. And he always it's always noted in scripture. You know, God hates it when we just constantly moan. It's great to be in a place of honesty to him, say, Lord, I'm not happy about it. He knows it. So even in the place when we go through the valley, to praise God as well, to thank him, to be there, we can be in the situations and to have the ability to walk with him. And I sense that in this place, as an individual, I'm not going to call you out, but you struggle to give praise and thanks to God because you're like, Lord, you've taken so much away from me. How can I be thankful? How can I praise you? And God just says, He loves you. You've been blaming God for those things, all the things that went wrong. But amidst all of that, He's just standing with His arms wide open as He's always been. He's saying that I love you, and He's waiting for you to just give who you are to Him. He wants to take that pain, that hurt away, because you can't fix yourself. It's impossible to fix ourselves. Only Jesus can. And I want us to read one last portion of Scripture together. 1 Thessalonians 5. And this is such an awesome Scripture. Rejoice always. 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 Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, good, bad, on our terms, not our terms. Give thanks to God, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So today, church, the message that God laid on my heart, it's not a long sermon. It is perhaps not something fancy as you would love to hear. But for me, this is just the core to everything and to the life God has called us to live. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. If we're hungry or not, if we have money or not, whether we have children or not, whether our requests and prayers are answered right at this very moment or not, let's just give thanks to God. Because why? Because He's deserving of it. He saved us from an eternity of damnation in hell. Let's be thankful to God. And above that, He wants to be close to us. He wants us to worship Him. He wants us to be at the place of intimacy, to kiss Him. So you can all stand with me. Let's stand. Let's make sure that no one is asleep. If there's anyone in this place, if you either feel that you cannot relate to God in praising Him and giving thanks to Him, or you feel that element in your life is missing. Also, perhaps you've never given your life to Jesus, saying, "You are Lord, You are Christ, and I want You to be the Savior of my life." If you've never done that and feel that you need to do that again today, if the Holy Spirit is stirring something in your gut right at this very moment, I want you to succumb to the front. And we would love to pray with you. So if there's anyone like that in this room today, we can all just pray to God at this moment. Let's just not let our thoughts wander off. And if that's you in this place today, I want to invite you to come to the front. We would love to pray with you today, so that you would know Christ, know His love, and know His favor, and that He wants to just give you so freely. And the second thing I want us to do is the worship team is going to sing a song. The rest of the team can come to the front. We're going to go into worship right now. I want to encourage us before we storm out of this place. Let's start off by saying thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just giving thanks for everything that you can possibly think of. And then approach Him in that mentality. And then from a place of His entering through the gates and into His courts, of being close to Him. That is where warfare happens. That is where our relationship with Him happens. We can't stand outside the gates of the kingdom and shout to God and say, "Hey, God, I want you to do this and this and this. Can't you hear me, Lord?" We need to be in His courts. How do we enter? Thanksgiving and praise. So worship team, we can sing and let's give thanks and praise to God. And if you require any prayer in this time, we can come to the front. We would love to pray with you.
For listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church, we believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org. or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.